All right, everyone, say good morning. Good morning. Let us begin. Good night of Shabbos, everyone. Let us begin by thanking all of our sponsors. To thank our Talmud Torah, our Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Nisan, Sa'id, and Simahakin, for dedicating all the Sherman Drushals this month to show their Hakaras Atov to Hashem for all of his Nisim and the flows. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeem all of the hostages, bring complete Hatzlacha to Eretz Yisrael and to Am Yisrael. A week of learning sponsors, Paul and Kathy Pollack, in memory of Paul's father, Shmuel ben Zechariah, and great-grandmother, Cyril Bas Dov. And our Dathyomi sponsor for today, Matt Leibowitz, as a zuchus for his father, Mark Leibowitz, who is undergoing a medical procedure today. May everything be with tremendous Hatzlacha, and may he have a complete and speedy refuah shalema. With that, let us begin. We have a lot to do today, Baruch Hashem, and have the incredible schos also to begin a new parak today, B'Shah Tovah U'Mitzlachos. So let's get started. Today's daf is Mem Daled 44, and we are picking up in Eretz Hashem on Mem Gimel Amud Beis at the two dots, about 20 lines up. Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is actually, if you see Tosis, Rabbi Akiva, the Reish Ayin over there, and just move your finger to the left and about two lines up, you'll be exactly where we are. Rabbi Akiva Omer Kishas HaTzvia. So we'll say, if you remember again, going back to yesterday's Mishnah, we had the fascinating discussion, really riveting discussion, about if I deposit something with a Shomer, and then the object, he ends up misappropriating it, or it ends up breaking or getting lost, halacha lemaisa, and the value of the item changes over time, at what value is the Shomer obligated to go ahead and compensate me, the owner of the object? So we had a three-way machlokes in the Mishnah. We had Beis Shammai. Ultimately, again, Beis Shammai says you pay. Shomer always pays the higher of the two amounts, whichever the two. The Shomer always pays the higher amount, the higher value. Beis Hillel says kishas hotzah, which literally meant at the time that the item was removed. We spent a considerable amount of time yesterday trying to figure out what exactly that means. And now we are up to Rabbi Akiva, who says kishas hatviyah. So you pay in accordance with the value of the item at the time that the Shomer is brought to Beis Din. Tviya literally means a claim. So at the time that the claim is lodged. Okay, Rashi says over here, Kishas Sheet Aven Olavdin. Fine, so now we're going to begin with Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva, Omer Kishas HaTviya. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mershmuel. Halacha Rabbi Akiva. Halacha Rabbi Akiva. So we'll say, so essentially what Rabbi Akiva is saying is like this. We assess the value of the item at the time that legal proceedings are initiated. So at the time that I, the owner, bring the Shomer to Beis Din, that's when we assess the value of the object. Umod Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva agrees, b'makom sheyesh edim. So it was actually an interesting case. Rabbi Akiva will agree in a situation where there are edim. Now, what has been a situation where there are edim? Take a look at Rashi. Umod Rabbi Akiva, b'makom sheyesh edim. Rashi says over here, kama haisa shava b'yom shegazlo, uru'u shegzula heimenu d'mishalim kshasak zela. So Rabbi says, so this is actually very interesting. So Rashi says like this, if you have witnesses that show up and the witnesses testify that Shomer, right, that the custodian stole the object, and they testify about when the act of theft occurred. So we know exactly when the act of theft occurred. Now let's say, for example, I deposited with Reuven, a golden cup. So then, and he stole it on Friday, April 12th. It's Friday, Gimel Nisan. So now we'll say, I can go back afterwards and we can figure out what the value of gold was on Friday, April 12th, for Gimel Nisan. So even Rabbi Akiva will agree that if you have witnesses, the value, and so therefore we know exactly when the act of theft took place, we could go ahead and ascertain the exact value of the item at the time it was stolen. In other words, when Rabbi Akiva says kishas hatviya, then normally we value the stolen or the disputed object at the time of the claim. That's when we don't know exactly when everything occurred. Right now, all I know is that Silber is bringing the Shomer to Beis Din. So then we'll go ahead and we'll assess the value of the item right here and now. But if I know through witnesses when exactly everything occurred, we'll lock in the value as of then. Okay, my timer. Dama Krav, why is this? Because the pasuk says, Lasher hu lo yitnenu biyom ashmaso. So literally again, to he who he is obligated to give, he will give on the day of his guilt. So the Gemara says, and since ultimately again, there are witnesses now, right? There are witnesses testifying ultimately again to when to when the actual act of theft occurred. So therefore, again, that is called Yom Ashmaso. So I just want to point out what's happening over here. Under normal circumstances, Rabbi Akiva says, what's the definition of your day of guilt? Right? Yom Ashmaso. When is that? When you're brought to Beis Din. That's right. When you're with the Tviya. However, if there are witnesses, and witnesses are showing up and saying, no, it's not the day he was brought to Beis Din. It was Friday. It was last Tuesday, whatever it was. Then that becomes Yom Ashmaso. And then that date determines the value of the item. Very interesting. Amar Rabbi Hoshea Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Hoshea said to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi, Ata Omer came. So Rabbi Hoshea asked Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi, do you hold like this? Do you hold like Rabbi Akiva? So Ata Omer came. Hachi Am Rabasi Am Rabbi Yochanan. Because there's an alternate version. The alternate version of this is that no, even in a situation where there are witnesses, Rabbi Akiva still holds that the value of the item is locked in when? At the time of the tviya, at the time of the claim. So the Gemara says, my time was the reason. The Amakra, La'asher hu lo yitnenu biyom ashmaso, ubeidino hu de kamachayvele ashma. Because we'll say in this version of Rabbi Akiva, Yom Ashmaso always means when you're brought to Beis Din. Since it is Beis Din who will establish your guilt or your innocence. Now, as Rabbi will say, we know this, but even if you have witnesses, right? Witnesses by themselves are not the determinant of guilt or innocence, right? What's the determinant? Beis Din. You come to Beis Din. Beis Din, right, will investigate the witnesses. Are they saying correctly? So therefore, two versions of Rabbi Akiva. In version one of Rabbi Akiva, there are two different possibilities for valuation of the stolen object. Either A, when you're brought to Beis Din, the day of the tviya, the day of the claim, or B, if there are witnesses, so we can establish an exact time, an exact date for when the act of theft occurred, will lock in the value as of then. In the alternate version of Rabbi Akiva, there's no such distinction. Value of the item is always determined by when the Shomer is brought to Beis Din, for it is Beis Din who determines your guilt or your innocence. Incredible. Amar Rabbi Zeira Rabbi Abba Bar Papa, ki azlis lahasam. When you go, sisters, was incredible. Rabbi Abba says to Rabbi Papa, when you go, Rabbi Zeira said to Rabbi Abba Bar Papa, when you go to Hasam, Hasam is Eretz Yisrael, when you have the schus to travel to Eretz Yisrael, akif asulma detzur. So Rabbi said, this is incredible. He says, literally again, ascend the ladder of Tzur, va'ol legabei d'Rav Yaakov bar Idi, and go in to see Rav Yaakov bar Idi. We're supposed to take a quick look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, Akif, hereba saderach v'sivev derach aruka al davrazeh, v'aleches derach malos shal har Tzur. So apparently, Rav Yaakov lived on a mountain. He lived on Har Tzur. Uboy mine mashon Rabbi Yochanan Rabbo al kach kol mahalich derech aruka b'makom shish kitzara makifu. So what says, this is very interesting. So what Rabbi Zeira is saying to Rabbi Abba is when you go to Eretz Yisrael, so literally akif asulma the tzur, take the long way. Here ba asa derech v'sivei derech aruka al davar zeh laleches derech malos shahatzur. So essentially what says is really incredible. What he's saying is, ascend the mountain. And go ask Rabbi Yaakov what it is, what he feels about this particular issue. So I'll say, by the way, it's also so profound. A lot of times, if you want to attain MS, MS is often always only attained if you're willing to scale the mountain. Right? MS never comes and lays down at your feet. The truth is, nothing meaningful in life ever really just comes to you. If you want truth, right? If you want MS, if you want, quote unquote, you know, to reach resolution, and whatever level of accomplishment you want in life, you have to be willing to scale the mountains. You have to be willing to take the long road. You have to be willing to put in the effort. It's really incredible. So go and find out. Uboy mine, ishmiyale the Rabbi Yochanan, halach Rabbi Akiva, halach Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi says, so I will ask him, find out, does he hold the Rabbi Akiva or not? That's the Shaila. Amar lehacha, so I will say, scale the mountain. Amar lehacha Rabbi Yochanan, halacha Rabbi Akiva li'olam. Was it, by the way, what a profound statement. The halacha follows Rabbi Akiva forever. Forever. What does that mean? Mercy, my li'olam. We'll say, what does it mean, li'olam? Amar Ravashi, shelo tomar, hani mili hecha deleka edim, ava hecha deika edim lo. So I will say, so first of all, what it could mean like this. You might have thought, when does the halacha follow Rabbi Akiva? Like we were just mentioning before. When does the halacha follow Rabbi Akiva? Namely, that you go ahead and you establish the value of the item kishas hatviyah at the time of the claim. That's when there aren't witnesses, right? But if there are witnesses, then halacha lemaisa, again, we go based on the testimony of the witnesses. And we lock in culpability based on the kamash malano, the halacha follows Rabbi Akiva li'olam, forever. Meaning that halacha lemaisa, we always value the object based on the time of the claim. So we'll say furthermore, even in a case of, we'll say, where halacha lemaisa, you took an object, right? Remember, we spoke about this concept extensively. You took it, the shomer took an object, and then he returned it back to its spot, right? So he misappropriated, but he returned it. And after he returned it, it broke. Then halacha lemaisa, you're still chayiv. Why? Lafuki mit Rabbi Yishmael da'amar lo ba'inon das bailin. So also remember, again, we have this machlokes, when you take something and you return it, do you need das bailin? Do you need the knowledge of the owner in order to go ahead and effect a complete hashava? So Rabbi Yishmael says, you do not, right? Kamash malon de ba'inon das bailin. Therefore, again, I will say, kamash malon de aloch lamaisa Rabbi Akiva paskins, you do require knowledge of the owner. Rava says halacha kabeisila. All right, so I'll kind of throw that in over here. So just to see what's happening over here is you see a very strong push to pass like Rabbi Akiva, and therefore again in a case of misappropriation or a case of where the shomer steals the item, then halacha lemaisa the value of the item is established kishas hatvia at the time that the case is brought to court. Machlokis and Rabbi Akiva, whether or not he would hold that even if there are witnesses. Okay, but it sounds like from this last version of Rabbi Akiva, even if there are witnesses, then halacha lemaisa, again, we still go by shas hatviyah. Then you have Rava coming along, and Rava kind of like, it's interesting, like, literally, you almost see like the last ditch effort, right? They're about to end shir. We're about to finish the Gemara, right? About to get to the Mishnah, and Rava says, halacha follows beisila. You know, like, he puts that in there, again, and beisila says, kishas hotsa, at the time that literally, again, the object is removed. So that could even mean destroyed, consumed, like we saw in yesterday's daf. So I will say, so remember again, we already saw, I know I kind of jumped the gun a little bit, but we already saw the halacha lemaisa on the sugya yesterday. Remember again, the Rambam essentially paskins like Rava, because it says Rava, but the Gersa changes it to Rava, like Rava on Amud Aleph, which is how do we establish the value of the misappropriated or stolen item? So we'll say, if you remember again, in a case where let's say it was worth one zuz when the shomer stole it, and then again, four zuz at the time that he misappropriates it. So then remember again that halacha lemaisa, it depended. What did it depend on? So how it was consumed. If it was a situation where halacha lemaisa, the shomer consumed it himself, or went ahead and broke it, then we lock in the higher value. So this was yesterday's stuff. This was Rava, right? If ultimately, again, it broke on its own, then he would pay the value of the item at the time that it was stolen. But that is only in a case where it appreciates. In a case of depreciation, the shomer is always going to pay kishas hagzela, the value of the item at the time that he stole it. So the Rambam effectively paskins like Rava on Amud Aleph, which also includes elements of Beis Hillel. Okay, can I say that finishes out the sugya? I'll just mention that line of halacha k'Rabbi Akiva li'olam. Halacha k'Rabbi Akiva li'olam is a pretty dramatic statement, and perhaps embedded in, as I will say, is a profound yisod. That what does it mean halacha k'Rabbi Akiva li'olam? First of all, it's just a strange statement in general to make. Okay, so the Gemara tries to qualify it. So I will say, Rabbi Akiva. Possessed many qualities, but amongst Rabbi Akiva's most dominant and profound and strong qualities was an unbreakable sense of optimism and of hope. Right? Rabbi Akiva, the end of Maseches Makos, when everyone is crying over the destruction, Rabbi Akiva is the one who always says, Chevra, it's going to be okay. Somehow, some way, we are going to navigate ourselves out of this situation. When Rabbi Akiva was the one who, in being executed in such a barbaric fashion, was able to show his Talmidim how you could pull out spiritual growth even from the most overwhelming of circumstances. Rabbi Akiva was the one who always felt that tshuva is always possible. Rabbi Akiva felt that change is always possible. So halacha k'Rabbi Akiva li'olam could be meant on a deeper hashkafic level. And say that the halacha, really the hashkafa of life, follows Rabbi Akiva li'olam. If you want eternality in this world, if you want to know that you could overcome any type of circumstance, halacha k'Rabbi Akiva. Keep a sense of hope. Keep a sense of optimism. Keep a sense of resolve and purpose, and recognize that you are part of something nitzchi, a part of something eternal. If you hold halacha k'Rabbi Akiva, then in Yerzah Hashem, we will have li'olam. Then we will have eternality. Lose your hope. Lose your optimism. Fall into a sense of yeyosh. Become depressed. Then ultimately, again, there's no tomorrow. And I was saying, this concept resonates with such a profound sense of urgency and such a profound sense of in these days, we mamish need Rabbi Akiva more than. I was saying, you know, you read the headlines sometimes and you wonder to yourself, like, what is a person even supposed to do with this? Right? You read the headlines this morning that again, they expect Iran to do something within the next 24 to 48 hours. And you could read that and you could look at that and you could say, oy vay vay, what's going to be? I would say, but the greatness and the power of Klal Yisrael is halacha k'Rabbi Akiva li'olam. Halacha k'Rabbi Akiva li'olam. You know, I will say, Rabbi Akiva died at the hands of barbaric oppressors, the Romans. Yet, we are still here thousands of years later learning Rabbi Akiva's Torah. Why? Because halacha k'Rabbi Akiva li'olam. The halacha of Rabbi Akiva, what's the halacha of Rabbi Akiva? Hold your head high. Look forward. Be optimistic. Be hopeful. Put your trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ribono Shel Olam has our back. That's the halacha of Rabbi Akiva. And if you hold that way, li'olam. Then in Yiratz Hashem, we will be gebenched as individuals and as a people with incredible, profound, and beautiful eternality. We'll say, let's go back to Mishnah. HaChoshev l'shloach yabi v'kadosh. So we'll say, this over here is an incredible, incredible Gemara. So if a Shomer, this is so interesting, if a Shomer has in mind to misappropriate, right? So again, he's not doing anything right now. He just, in his mind, he's making, you know, it's always good to plan out your day, right? You know, so 5:50 the daf, 6:45 shacharis, 8:30 misappropriation, right? I'm going to put it, say it's his intention to go ahead and misappropriate the property. But I want to be clear, he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything yet, right? So, Achoshev l'shlachia bepikadon, Beishamai omrim chayiv, Beishamai says that you're chayiv, Ubeisila omrim eno chayiv ad sheyishlach bo yas. Well, it's actually pretty incredible. So, Beishamai says that you are actually chayiv for intention. Now, look at Rashi. Rashi says, Achoshev l'shlachia, Omer bifnei edim, etel piktono shalploni v'yatzmo. So it's so interesting. So the shomer goes ahead and says in front of witnesses, I am going, 8:30 a.m., guys, if you want to see, right, I am going to misappropriate the item that was deposited with me. Okay, so Beis Shammai says, that is enough to make you chayiv. Beis Hillel says, no, you're not chayiv until you actually misappropriate. Shneemar, im lo shalach yado b'molech esre'ehu. The pasuk says, if you did not send your hand, literally again, against the object of your friend. Okay, so we'll say some fundamental machlokis over here. Now again, we'll say, I want to point out over here, what does it mean when Beis Shammai says you're chayiv? Right, because at the end of the day, we'll say, think about this just a moment, right? I have in mind to go ahead and steal your wallet. And I even say in front of the witnesses, I'm going to steal Reuven's wallet. Can I be liable for that? No. So what's going on over here? So in other words, let's just play this out. I deposit an object with Reuven, right? Reuven says in front of witnesses, in front of witnesses, I am going to misappropriate it. I'm just telling him I'm going to do it. Reuven hasn't done anything yet. So how could he be chayiv? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, chayiv ba'onsin, mehayom v'hala im ne'enas chayiv b'achrayus. Oh. So we'll say, what does chayiv mean? Chayiv means that since I've articulated an intent to misappropriate, I now become fully responsible for the object. So obviously, at that moment right now, I'm not chayiv anything, I didn't do anything. But since I expressed the intention to misappropriate, I now have a heightened level of responsibility for this particular object. And halacha l'maisa, if something happens to it, I'm chayiv. Beis Hillel says, no way. You don't assume responsibility, heighten responsibility for something unless you do a maisa, unless you do an action. So the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says, Shenemar in Loshai. Good. Mishnah. Hita esachavis v'not leimena revias v'nishbara ena mashalim el revias. What's the interesting case over here? So still in this preparation. Shomer goes over to the... So I deposit with Reuven a barrel of wine. Reuven goes over to the barrel of wine. What does he do? He tilts it, takes a revias of wine. And we'll say, now let's say afterwards, the barrel breaks. An ones. So what's the halacha? Reuven is only chayiv for the revias of wine that he took. And Rabbi said, now why is that? Because remember again, misappropriation requires the shomer to actually acquire the object. Tilting the barrel is not an act of kinyan. There was no hagbah, no lifting. So because he just tilted it, he never really fully misappropriated. In other words, because he tilted it, he didn't acquire the barrel. The only thing he misappropriated was what? A revias of wine. And therefore, even if the barrel subsequently breaks, he's not chayiv for own. So this means he's a shomer chinam. And therefore, aloha lemaisa, he just has to pay for the revias. So the Gemara says, higbia v'not limet revias. However, if the shomer lifted up the barrel and then took a revias of wine, and then the barrel broke, then what? V'shad l'mikul. Then Rabbi says he's responsible for everything. He's responsible for the entire barrel. Which makes sense, right? Why? Because halacha l'maisa, since he lifted it up, therefore he's going to be chayiv because of the barrel. We'll say, I'll just mention something interesting. Why is it that, you know, you think about this, according to Beis Shammai's case, why would a guy announce in front of witnesses that he's about to misappropriate something? Right? Why would he say it? So of course, pasha pshat is what's happening over here. He's just talking, right? He's running his mouth. He'll say, but you know, sometimes the best way to prevent yourself from doing something wrong is to create a sense of accountability to others. I say we learn this in Chassidus, and we learn B'nai Machshava Tova, the power of being part of a chabura, the power of being part of a group, is that sometimes, Rabbi Osei, there's a lot of things that I would do, you know, when it's just me and myself. But the moment that I have like a sense of group accountability is the moment that sometimes that keeps me from doing certain things wrong. If I know that I'm accountable, right, this is the Piagetna's whole chap of this was, if you know that you're accountable to a chabura, there's a group of people who you're growing with, who you're learning with, who you're talking with, and who you're confiding in, a lot of times having to share something with someone else keeps you. So I say, well, what was that about this Mishnah? Maybe the reason why Reuven is saying this in front of two witnesses is that what is he really trying to do? He's saying, guys, stop me, you know? I'll say it's so important to have good friends who you could confide in, but a good friend, I will say, is someone who's not just going to yes you all the time. A good friend is someone who's going to say, you know what? That's stupid, right? That's stupid, or that's really not appropriate, or that's beneath you. I mean, you can say it nicer, right? But that's not something you should be doing. So maybe that's why Reuven's saying something in front of witnesses. What he's really hoping is if I tell you kind of what's in my mind and what I want to do, maybe again, good friends will step in and prevent me from making mistakes. All right, Memdalma 44a. Minhani mili. So we'll say, so where is this from? In other words, so we have fundamental machlokes de Shan Beis Hillel. Where does this machlokes ultimately emanate from? We'll say, what is this? Sorry. Okay, what is this? Minhani mili. The term Abanan, I'll call Dabra Pesha. Right? The Pasuk says ultimately again that the Shomer is Chayiv. For any pesha means literally iniquity. The shomer is chayiv for any act of trespass. So what does this mean? So b'shami or melam yishe chayiv al machshava kimaisa. So I'll call davar pesha, says b'shami. What do you see from here? That even once you express the intent to misappropriate and you do so in front of witnesses, there's liability already for that. Because I'll call davar pesha means for any iniquity, which is a pretty kind of expansive term. Beis Hillel says, no. Enu chayiv ad sheyishlach bo yad. Not true. You're only chayiv if you actively engage in an act of misappropriation, some type of actual physical misappropriation. Shenemar, im lo shalach yado b'malach esreihu. Right? Beis Hillel says, the pasuk says, you extend your hand against the deposit of your friend. So in other words, it's not enough just to think it. You're actively doing something. So amru lahen beishamah leBeis Hillel. So Beis Shammai said to Beis Hillel, v'alo kvar nemar akol dover pesha. So Beis Shammai says to Beis Hillel, what do you do about our pasuk? Akol dover pesha. Amru lahen Beis Hillel beishamah v'alo kvar nemar lo shalach yado b'malach esreihu. So Beis Hillel says, you could quote me a pasuk. I could quote you a pasuk. M.K. Ma Tamud Lomar, I called Davar Pesha. So I, Beis Hillel, What are you going to do with the pasuk of I'll call davar pesha? What do you do with that? So the Gemara says, listen to this. Sheyachol inli elohu. This is fascinating. So Rabbi Sevesil will say like this. I'll call davar pesha means like this. I only know that there's a din of misappropriation when by the shomer himself. That if the shomer misappropriates, there's liability for that. Okay. Amar li avdo, bless you. Amar li avdo ulushlucho minayin. How do I know? Well, this is fascinating. How do I know? I deposit an object with Reuven, right? Bottle of wine, right? Reuven goes ahead, and if Reuven misappropriates it, it's chayiv. How do I know that if Reuven goes ahead and tells his eved or his shaliach to misappropriate minayin, how do I know that Reuven is chayiv? Rabbosai, that would be a big chiddush. Why would that be a big chiddush? Because normally, what do we say? What do we say? Ein shaliach l'dvar aveira. There's no agency for the commission of a wrongful act or a commission of an aveira. Everyone is responsible. So how do I know about say misappropriation is different? That in the case of misappropriation, if Reuven instructs his eved, his shaliach, his kid, to go ahead and take some of the wine, that Reuven is chayiv, Talmud Lomar, I'll call Davar Pasha. So I will say, we know that halacha l'maisa, we paskin like Beis Hillel in this particular situation, and therefore halacha l'maisa, you're only chayiv for misappropriation if you actually do something. In other words, expression of intent, even in front of witnesses, does not create any type of liability. You're only chayiv halacha l'maisa if you actually go ahead and do it. And I will say, interestingly enough, we also pass like Beis Hillel in this particular situation as well, which is that one is chayiv, what the shomer is chayiv for misappropriation if he instructs someone else to do it on his behalf. So the incredible halacha. All right, let's go back. Let's finish up the parak. So he tes achavis. So remember again, the Mishnah said, remember this case. So right, I deposit a barrel of wine with Reuven. So remember again, two cases. If Reuven goes ahead and tilts the barrel and takes wine from it, and then the barrel subsequently breaks, what's the halacha? Reuven is chayiv for the revius, but not chayiv for the rest of the barrel. As opposed to if Reuven lifts up the barrel and takes a revius of wine and then puts it back down and it breaks, Reuven is chayiv for everything because the act of hagbah, the act of lifting it, has acquired it for Reuven, therefore he has full responsibility. Amar Rabba. Rabba says, lo shana ela nishpara. Shabbos like this will say. So halacha l'maisa, if Reuven picks up the barrel, takes a revius of wine, puts it back down, then the barrel breaks, Reuven is chayiv for the entire barrel, right? Because it breaks. Rabbi says, only if it breaks. Sorry. Wrong case. In the case of tilting, right? So Reuven goes ahead and tilts the barrel, takes a revius of wine. The barrel subsequently breaks. What is Reuven chayiv for? The revius, right? So Rabbi says, that's only for if it breaks. Aval ichmitza mishali meskula. So Rabbi says, this is fascinating. However, let's say Reuven takes a revius of wine, and what happens? The rest of the barrel turns to vinegar, it sours. In that case, I will say, Reuven is chayiv for the entire barrel, even though he never lifted it. My taima, what's the reason? So the Gemara says, Girei didehu da'ahanula. So Rabbi says, it's very interesting. So Rashi points out over here that apparently, what often prevents wine from turning is having the entire barrel filled. I guess maybe it's the airspace or maybe something else, but that accelerates the rate of spoilage. So it's interesting that even if Reuven didn't pick up the barrel, they only tilted it, but he took a revius of wine and the rest of the barrel turned sour, Reuven has that full responsibility for the spoilage because he caused that. He definitely caused that. Quite fascinating. So the next case in the Mishnah was Reuven lifted up the barrel. And ultimately, again, took some of the contents and then put it back down. And then if the barrel breaks, he's chayiv for everything because he did an act of hagbah. So Amar Shmuel, lo natal mamish. The truth is, it doesn't even have to be that he actually took wine. Ela kevan sheik be a litol, afa pisha lo natal. So Rabbi say, Shmuel says over here like this. The real ikr in this case, Rabbi say, is not whether or not Reuven took wine. That's not really what it's about. What is it about? That he picked up the barrel. Once he picked up the barrel, Rabbi say, so again, that's active misappropriation, even though he never took anything, and therefore he's going to be chayiv. The Gemara says, oh, that's interesting, because we spoke about this extensively. So we learn this. So what do you see from here? Clearly, Shmuel holds, misappropriation does not require diminution. Amri, lo shan, the Gemara says, Vine. So Zuga Amri Lo, not necessarily. Shani Hacha, this case is different. Why? The Nechale, the Tehavi Hachavis Kula Basis Laharavias. So I will say it's possible that maybe this case is different. Why? Because Halacha Lamaisa Ruvain intends on taking his Revias of wine. Plans on taking it. But it's in his best interest that this Revias remain mixed with the rest of the wine. Right? Because remember, we're going to say that his Revias will stay fresh, so to speak, when mixed with the rest of the wine. Okay. So the Gemara says, by Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi has the following Shaila. He says, "Bosei look at Rashi this moment." Rashi says, "Chavis bases lahai revius shetishmar osam revius velo tachmitz uli olum shlichu seb davar acher tzuicha chisaron." So maybe in general, misappropriation requires diminution. Just this case is different. Why? Because Reuven doesn't want to take out his revius until when? Until he's actively going to drink it, because his revius is best preserved together in the barrel. But in general, misappropriation does require diminution. All right, along those same lines, by Rav Ashi, Higbia Arniki Lital Hemen Adinar. So let's listen to this case. Let's say I deposited with Reuven a bag of money. Reuven lifted up the bag with the intention to take out one dinar. That's his intention, but he didn't take it out yet. So I will say, so now Mahu. So as I will say, the Shaila is, is Reuven guilty of misappropriation? So he lifted up the bag, there's a Hagbah, but he did not yet take out the dinar. Remember again, his intention is not to steal the bag. His intention is only to steal one dinar. So what's the halacha now? Chamrahu delo minter ala agav chamra. So on one hand, we could say that halacha lemaisa says only wine, right? Only wine where I could say Reuven wants his revius of wine preserved as part of the rest of the barrel. Aval zuza minter, but a dinar, I'll say a dinar could be preserved, so to speak, or could be secured even outside of the money bag. Odoma shining the tirusa, the arniki me tirusa the dinar. Or maybe not, or maybe ultimately, again, there is a difference, I will say, between guarding a coin that is in a bag of money, which is a little bit easier, than guarding a coin on its own. To which the Gemara says, teku. Now, I will say, now we know for our purposes, we already dealt with this sugya. Right? So again, so just for our purposes, halacha lamaisa, what kind of comes out over here is two different halachas. Number one, if the shaliach just tilted the barrel and took a revius of wine, he's only chayev for the misappropriation of the revius, even if the barrel subsequently breaks. If he picks up the barrel, then halacha lamaisa again, then halacha lamaisa, he is chayev, and the barrel breaks, he's going to be chayev for the totality of the barrel. Now we'll say, we already learned the halacha lamaisa. What's the halacha lamaisa? We hold shlichos yad, real misappropriation, does not require chisaron. Misappropriation does not require diminution. That's how the Rambam paskin. So therefore, once the shaliach picks up the object, again, with the intention to misappropriate, so he's done a ma'aser. But remember again, kavana to misappropriate doesn't do anything. We don't hold like Beis Shammai. So yeah, intention doesn't. But once he does a ma'aser of misappropriation, even if what? Even if halacha lemaisa, he does not go ahead and actively diminish, he's going to be chayav. Osai, hachon halacha mafkid, mazal tov. Okay, Osai, very exciting. Perak Hazav, one of the hardest prakim in Bav Metzia. But we got this. We got this, right? We absolutely got this. Let's go back there. Hazav, kones hakesef, hakesef in l'kones hazav. Okay, Osai, word of introduction. Actually, let's take a look at Rashi. So literally, gold acquires silver. Silver can't acquire gold. What are we talking about over here? Take a look at Rashi. We'll say this is very important. Rashi, first Rashi of the new parak. Hazav kones hakesef, halokeach dinare zav tivuim. Okay, so we'll say get ready for this. So a person goes ahead and is purchasing gold coins. Halokeach dinare zav tivuim. Tivuim means they're coined. Bidinare kesef. So a person is purchasing gold coins with silver coins. That's what's happening over here, okay? So just imagine that I am purchasing gold coins from Reuven. How am I paying for those gold coins? How am I paying for them? Silver coins, okay? So Meshichas Hazav Kones HaKesef. The moment that I take possession of the gold coins, so Reuven acquires the silver coins, all right? So the Gemara, Lebal Hazav, V'nischayiv lo zem mishekibel dinarizav, lo seis lo dinari kesef. So we'll say what that means is like this. In this transaction, so the moment I take possession of the gold coins, so Reuven, the seller, acquires the silver coins, and neither of us has the ability to back out of the transaction. Right? That's it. The transaction is done. And we'll say, what's the chiddush? The transaction is done, even though what? Reuven hasn't actively received his payment. Right? Reuven's acquired his silver coins, but again, he doesn't have physical possession of it. So neither could retract. Aval hakesef eino kones hazav. Rabbi says, but the reverse is not true. In other words, if I paid Reuven the money, right, I gave him the silver coins, tendering of the silver coins, the currency, does not acquire the gold on my behalf. Okay? Jose, let me just mention this outside for just a second, and then we'll go back inside. In any given case, right, of a transaction, there are two items. There's currency and there's merchandise. We're leaving aside karka right now. There's currency and there's merchandise. The way that it works is, taking of money does not acquire the merchandise. But taking of the merchandise acquires the money for the seller wherever that money is. That's the klal. So we'll say, in general, the halacha is, if you give money to someone, for an object, the tendering of money does not affect the transaction. I know it sounds counterintuitive to us because we assume always money affects everything. The tendering of money does not affect the transaction. A transaction is only considered to be complete when the purchaser takes possession of the merchandise. Now the chiddush is, once you take possession of the merchandise, the seller automatically acquires the money wherever the money is. That's the klal that's happening over here. Now, that's the principle. Now, what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? This is very exciting. Very exciting. What is the chiddush of the Mishnah? The chiddush of the Mishnah, I will say, is what if you're buying currency? So here, I'm buying gold coins. But I'm buying gold coins with silver coins. So, here's the chiddush of the Mishnah. So when you have two forms of currency, I will say, whichever form of currency is more usable. There's a better word than usable. Fungible? Yeah, in other words, whichever form of currency you can more easily use everywhere. Does that mean fungible? Yeah, good. Whichever form of currency, I'm just going to go with easily usable, right? Whichever form of currency is more easily usable, that's considered the money. That's the money. And whatever form of currency is less usable, that's the merchandise. Okay, so therefore watch this. If I am buying, so I'm going over to Reuven. Reuven's got gold coins. I say, Reuven, I'm going to buy your gold coins and I'm paying you with silver coins. The silver coins is the money. The gold coins is the merchandise. So therefore, I will say, go back to the Mishnah. Hazov kona es hakesef. So therefore, I will say, when in this case where I'm buying gold coins, when I go over to Reuven and I take possession of the gold coins, now I will say, Reuven, so I've acquired the gold, and Reuven has acquired the kesef, has acquired the silver, wherever it is. Well, so let's say again, I'm doing this transaction with Reuven in Baltimore, and it turns out I happen to keep my silver in Yerushalayim. So ultimately, halavai, shol bizoch, right? So again, so let's say, so therefore Reuven acquires the silver, even though the silver is not right here. So let's say, now take a look. Look at the Rashi, because the first Rashi is actually very important, even though we're mamish running behind schedule over here. So look at Rashi. Halokeach dinar zav tivuim b'dinari kesef. So again, I'm purchasing gold coins with silver coins. V'nasam lo dinari zav. And I give Reuven, Reuven gives me the gold coins. Mishichas hazav kona es hakesef labal hazav. V'nischayiv lo zem mishikibel dinari zav. Losleis lo dinari kesef. V'ino yochol lachzer bo. So once Reuven gives me the gold coins, and I do Mashiach, I take possession of the gold coins. So first of all, transaction is done. Right? No backsies, as they say. Transaction is done, even though money has not been tendered. And Reuven, the owner of the gold, acquires the silver coins wherever they may be. Aval HaKesef, Rashi says, Eina Kones Azov. But the reverse is not true. If I give Reuven the silver coins, right, that does not affect the transaction. Aval kesef eno kones hazav, shimnasan lo dinari kesef tchila lo kana v'yicholin shneim lachzor. This is incredible. So even if I gave Reuven the silver coins first, ultimately again, either of us could retract. Either of us could renege. Damatbeya kesef. So good. So we'll say, that's it. Let's go back to Mishnah. So hazav kones hakesef, hakesef eno kones hazav. So gold acquires silver. Silver doesn't acquire gold. When we say that means is when the silver coins are given as payment, that does not affect the transaction. We'll say, what does it mean it doesn't affect the transaction? It means that what? Either party could renege. Okay. Now we'll say, now we're just going to give a bunch of examples like this. Hanechoshes kona es hakesef. Similarly again, copper has the ability to acquire silver. Va'kezav eino kones anechoshes. But silver doesn't acquire copper. We'll say, what does that mean? That when you have silver and copper, so remember again, silver coins are more easily used as currency than copper coins. Therefore, in this type of transaction, copper is the merchandise, silver is the money. So as soon as the copper coins, right, as soon as the buyer takes possession of the copper coins, so ultimately transaction is complete, money is acquired by the seller wherever the money may be, and irreversible. But again, if the silver coins were given, that does not affect transactional totality. Mo'os haros konas es hayafos, v'hayafos eino konas es haros. So we'll say similarly again, if you have bad coins, we'll say bad coins are coins that are not easily usable. They're kind of out of circulation. So we'll say, so once again, those are going to be the merchandise, as opposed to mo'os yafos, good money, which is easily usable money, that's going to be the money. Asimon konas hamatbea, v'hamatbea eino konas es haros. So we'll say, again, Asimon will bring a smile to your face if you are above the age of 45. Right? Otherwise, you have no idea what we're talking about. Younger?
They don't have Asimon anymore.
My oh my gosh, you just dated yourself. Take out your AARP card. Oh, what do you have going on over here? Ridiculous. No. You can't find... Mysh, we're going to talk after Shir. All right. You're used to looking for payphones also, like on the street. So the Gemara says as follows. So Asimon, I will say Asimon, as we're going to see, is an unminted coin, a slug. A slug, it's an unminted coin. So I will say you can't. So remember, an Asimon has value because also remember again, their coins were made of actual precious metals. Right? Their coins are made of precious metals. So Aloch Lamaisin, Asimon acquires the Matbea. Matbea and a coin as Asimon. So we'll see these are all the same cases, right? So an Asimon will be merchandise. Therefore, taking of the Asimon affects transactional reality, while ultimately, again, the Matbea does not. Metalklin kones ha-matbea, Matbea eda kones metalklin. Similarly again, so I'll say, so remember, when you take possession of metalklin, merchandise, that acquires for the seller the money, but taking of the money does not create the transaction. Zaklau, kol metalklin kolin zezez. So I'll say, similarly again, metalklin have the ability to acquire one another. So I'll say, this is our first principle in the Mishnah. Our first principle in the Mishnah is we'll say, now the chiddush over here is, when you are engaging in a transaction to buy coins, so we'll say, so one of the coins will be merchandise, one of the coins will be money. How do you know which is which? Whichever is more easily usable as currency, that's the coin. The one less usable is the merchandise. The halacha is, a transaction is only solidified when you take possession of the merchandise, even though money has not been offered. At that point, money becomes the property of the seller, transaction is irreversible. Tendering of money does not create transactional irreversibility. Good. All movable property acquires each other. So we'll say, listen to this. Let's say I'm going in and purchasing produce from Reuven. I do meshicha on the peros, but I did not yet pay. So we'll say, we saw this already. Once in the transaction, the purchaser takes possession, does meshicha on the merchandise, the transaction is done. Irreversible, even though money has not been tendered, and the seller acquires the money wherever the money may be. But if I gave money but didn't do mashicha, then I have either party has the ability to renege. Aval amru, bro, say, watch this. It's incredible. So we'll say this is actually really incredible. What this says is halacha lemaisa. I'm transacting with Reuven, right? I'm about to buy merchandise, peros. I give Reuven, here's the $100. I hand him $100. After I give him the money, I say, Reuven, I changed my mind. I give him my money back. What's the halacha? What's the halacha? You have the right to reverse. The Gemara says you can, but aval amru mi shepara me anshe dor hamabul umidor aflaga. He who extracted punishment from the generation of the flood and the generation of the dispersion, bracious, who asid li para me misha eno omir bedibura. Wow. They will say, if after you pay for something, you absolutely have the halachic right to renege and to reverse the transaction, but it's dishonest. It's dishonest. You gave your word and you gave your money. So just understand, can you back out of the transaction? You can. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who extracted punishment from the generation of the dispersion, ultimately, again, will extract punishment from you as well. Rabbosai, that is pretty severe stuff. We call that Mishapara. Why such severity attached to something that is technically legal, we'll discuss. We'll discuss. So the Gemara goes weiter. Rabbi Shimon Omer Kol Shakesef Biyado Yadal Yon. Rabbi Shimon says that's not the way it works. Rabbi Shimon says whoever has the money, Halacha L'maaseh, he has the upper hand. So mostly it appears to me what Rabbi Shimon is saying is once I paid for something, I can't just walk away and say no, I'm out. Because again, the seller could say, you can't do anything, I'm holding your money. Rav Shimon says, the person who's holding the money has the upper hand. Again, we'll see that in the Gemara. Gemara, Masniva, Rabbi, the Rabbi Shimon Berei, Hazov Koneh Sakasef. So we'll say, Rabbi taught to Rabbi Shimon, his son, that Zav, so gold acquires silver, which Rabbi says is what we saw in the Mishnah, that Allah says, I'm buying gold with silver coins. The tendering of silver coins does not affect the transaction, that's the money. But once I take the gold, once I do mashicha on the gold, so the seller acquires the silver coins wherever they may be. Amarle, so he said, Rebbe, shanis lanu bi'adusecha, hakesef kones azov. But they said, Rebbe, you taught us when you were young a different halacha. Right? You taught us when you were young that ultimately, again, the silver acquires the gold. Which sounds like what? The Rebbe said in his youth that silver is the merchandise and gold is the coin. So which one is it? Says, so ultimately again, so Rebbe, when you were young, you taught us that the silver is the merchandise, the gold is the coin. And then when you got older, you taught us that the gold is the merchandise and the silver is the coin. What's going on? So bialdusecha my savar, ubiziknuse my savar. Rebbe, what did you hold in your youth? And what did you hold in your old age? So listen to this. I will say, by the way, I just want to point out something absolutely amazing. We don't have time for it. I will say, this line, bialdusecha my savar, ubiziknuse my savar. I will say, what does that line teach you? I will say, people are supposed to think differently in their youth than in their old age. Life is all about change. Life is all about personalistic evolution. And if I'm the same person when I'm young, and if I think the same way when I'm young and then when I'm older, I will say, that is a stunted life. Life is all about change. And one of the most exciting things to be able to look at is how we were when we were young and hopefully, the tremendously different trajectory we are on now that we are old. If there's stagnation, if you could look back at your youth and you're the same person now as when you were young, Rachmana Litzlan, that's tragic. The Gemara is building this in, Bialduse my savar, ubiziknuse my savar. Change is the most important thing in life. Let's go back to Bialduse my savar. So Bialduse savar, dava de chashiv havitiva, kaspa de lo chashiv havipeira. When I was young, I thought that gold, that was more important, that's considered the coin, and silver, that is less important, is considered the merchandise, and therefore, the kanile peira lativa, and the merchandise acquires the money. Biziknuse my savar, in my old age, what did I think? Okay, at least we made it some of the days, right? The charif, kasba, the charif, havetiva, so money, which I will say is what? Money, charif, means it's more easily usable. Rashi says, yotzei ba'otzava over the socha. Money, which is more easily usable, that's considered to be the coin. Dava delo charif havipeira. But ultimately, again, gold, which is not easily usable, that's the merchandise. So we'll say it's very interesting. The principle doesn't change. The principle is the same. Merchandise acquires money. Money doesn't acquire merchandise. It's just that Rebbe had different conceptions between his youth and his older age as to what's the definition of money. Is money the item that's less expensive? Or is money the item that's more easily usable? So ultimately, again, in his youth, is money the item that is more chashuv or money the item that is more usable? Okay, so Amar Ravashi, ki alduse mistabra. So Ravashi says, I think that Rebbe's approach in his youth seemed to be a bit more clear, a bit more evident. Midiktani hanechoshes kana sakesef. Because what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says that copper acquires silver, which means we both say that in a copper-silver transaction, when you're acquiring both coins, copper is the merchandise and silver is the coin. Now watch this. So if you hold that silver compared to gold ultimately is merchandise, like Rebbe's youth, then the Gemara says, then hainu dekatani hanechoshes kona sakesef. Then I understand why copper is merchandise compared to silver. Because even though when it comes ultimately to gold, when compared to gold, it's considered merchandise, legabi nechoshes tivahavi. When compared to copper, it is going to be coinage. Elei amrit kaspo legabi dava tivahavi. But if you hold that halacha lemaisa, silver, when compared to gold, silver is the coin, then hashta legabi dava dechashev bin amrit tivahavi. Then if when compared to gold, silver is going to be the coin, legabi nechoshes tiyu chashev iyu charef mibai. Then I will say, when compared to copper, where again, silver compared to copper, number one, is more chashev, and number two, is more easily usable, it goes without saying. Goes without saying. So Gemara says, no. Even with that, if tisal dait chamina, you would still need to say it. Why? Why listen to this? So it's just chamina, hani priti ba'asra desagi inhu charifi tfei mekaspa. Because we'll say in a place where copper coins are usable, copper coins are the most usable form of currency, even more than silver. So the Gemara says, Emativahavi, I would have thought, therefore, when therefore they should be considered to be coins. Kamash malon, kevan di'ika duchta, delo sagi be'perahavi. But I will say, kamash malon, that even though where copper is usable, it is the most usable type of currency. But since there are many locations where copper coins are not usable, therefore silver, when compared to copper, silver is going to be the coinage, and ultimately copper is going to be the merchandise. Incredible. V'af Rabbi Chiya savar dava tivahavi. Even Rabbi Chiya held that ultimately, again, gold is considered to be the coin. Remember, that's the version of Rabbi's youth. The version of Rabbi's youth is that when you have a gold-silver transaction, gold is the coin and silver is the merchandise. Dirav, Ozif dinar mi barte, Rabbi Chiya. What's the interesting case over here? Rav went ahead and lent a dinar to, he borrowed a dinar from the daughter of Rabbi Chiya. Okay, l'sof yaker dinare, but then the value of dinarim went up. Aslak made Rabbi Chiya. I came before Rabbi Chiya, Amarle, and said to Rabbi Chiya said to him, Amarle, zil shlimle, tivin the tiklin. Go ahead and pay her back the best dinarim. That was it. So now watch this. If you hold that gold is considered to be coinage, then shaker, that's fine. You borrowed coins, give back coins. Watch this. But if you held that Allah Almighty gold is considered to be merchandise, then havile sa'av bis sa'av the asr. Okay. Say too much for one day. I will say, okay, very quickly. There is a concept of ribis, interest. Interest, right? You're not allowed to pay interest. When a Jew is borrowing money from a Jew, can't pay interest. So I will say there is a concept called sa'av bis sa'av, which means like this. If I borrow a sa'av of produce, from Rome. Sa'av is a measurement. You are not allowed to contract to pay back a sa'ah of produce. I will say, why? Because measurements of, or volume of produce, the value of that always fluctuates. So the problem is, I could borrow a sa'ah of produce that's worth $100 today, and then in a year from now that I have to pay back, it's quite possible that's what? It's going to be worth $150. So that's called the prohibition of sa'ah bis sa'ah. So I'll say, so now watch this. When you borrow gold coins, and now he was being told to pay back in gold coins, that works if you hold that gold coins are what? Money. Because if you borrow $100, you can give back $100. Even though the value of money also changes, we don't call that ribis. But if you hold that gold is merchandise, I will say, then you have to be careful about borrowing gold coins and paying back gold coins. Why? Because that may be sa'ah bis sa'ah. So the fact that he told him to pay back gold coins indicates that what? That halacha l'maisa, gold is considered to be coinage and not merchandise. So the Gemara says, no. Rav dinari havilei. Rav, in fact, already had dinarim. He had money to pay back. Techeivan davalu dinari, nase ke'omerla, havani achiyavo b'ni al-ache'emtsa maftayach. So ultimately, again, since Rav, at the time that he borrowed it, already had dinarim in his possession, so I will say we're going to see this case as well, that when you borrow something for what's called a relatively short amount of time, some of the halakos concerning ribis, concerning interest, don't necessarily apply. So it's like a case where he has it in his house, but he doesn't have immediate access to it, so he says, lend it to me until I can have access. So I will say, so I have to stop over here. So much to do, so much to accomplish. I will say, we'll stop over here. So I'll say, so again, what I just want to point out is what we're leaving off with is the principle. So the principles of the Mishnah, we know merchandise acquires money, money doesn't acquire merchandise. When you're dealing with two different types of coinage, the easily usable one is the money, less easily usable one is the merchandise. What we're leaving off with over here now, I will say, is the machlokas in Rebbe. What is the status of gold? Is gold considered to be merchandise or is gold considered to be coinage? To be continued tomorrow, Bosai. Shkoyach. All right, Chevron Zoom, have a good Shabbos, everyone. Wonderful to see all of you. Such a schus.
So I'm going to get Shabbos.